Hey, now it's time for our children's sermon, and I would love to talk just to the kids for a minute. Adults, you can listen in. Kids, we miss seeing you, but we know that you're back in school, a lot of you, and some of you are still doing that online, so you're used to this online stuff. But wherever you are, just know how much you are loved and missed if we haven't seen you in a while. We are talking about taking our temperatures, so I know that most of you know exactly what this is, and I'm guessing that on a lot of mornings, if you're going to school in person, you get your temperature taken, and it tells you what your temperature is. So we're trying to take our temperature here at First Press over these next several weeks, and we're trying to look at a few areas of life to see kind of how we measure or how we're measuring when it comes to certain things. Last week we talked about hope. How hopeful are we? Well, this week we're talking about being people who are biblical or who read and do, know and do what the Bible says. So that's what the sermon's going to be about, and you might want to listen in as your parents do in a little while. But the point is, this is God's word. And we need to know God's word and God's ways and then do what he asks us. To be biblical is to know and do, to live this out. That's what we're trying to do, and it's hard to do, and none of us do it quite right. But sometimes people get it, and they inspire us by how they live out some of what's in God's word. So this weekend is also a weekend when we remember Martin Luther King Jr. And so a lot of you that are in person school or online, I don't think you have school this Monday, because in our country, we stop and remember important people. And Martin Luther King Jr. is one of those people. Now, we're going to show about a one-minute video in just a minute, and it'll have some pictures of him and some of the things he said that were pretty cool. But it also shows verses from the Bible that inspired what he said and did. And none of us get it right all the time, or maybe even half the time. But Martin Luther King Jr. got it right about some of the things in God's word that were really important and really clear. And I know you're learning about that in school, and you'll hopefully learn more and more as you get older. But Martin Luther King Jr. took some things that are said over and over and over again in the Bible about people and about how much they matter to God. And he wanted to make sure that here in America, we were living out that truth, that everyone's important, everyone matters, and everyone deserves to be loved and cared for and welcomed in to friendships and to families and into our communities. So, be biblical. Remember Martin Luther King Jr., and let's be people that know God's word, but not just what it says. Let's be people who do what God's word calls us to do. Okay, and we'll do that together, and we'll struggle together, but let me pray for you. God, I thank you for our kids who are learning about you and learning from your word and watching their parents and others kind of live out what you ask of us and what you call us to. I pray that you'd bless them as they come to know your word more and more, and even more important, as they come to know you, the living word, Jesus, in a personal way, in a way that changes their lives. Lord, thank you for people around us that live out what you say in the Bible. Thank you for Martin Luther King Jr. and others who are obeying and doing what you ask us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. This is Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came And the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Leadership matters. Martin Luther King Jr.'s leadership mattered. It made a difference. And his legacy of leadership lives on today. Elders and deacons and pastors here at First Presbyterian Church and all over the world, their leadership matters as well. There have been those who have stepped forward in the past, those who are stepping forward in the present, and those who will step forward in the future. Their leadership matters. Now, there are a lot of ways to lead, a lot of styles, a lot of personalities, a lot of tasks and challenges that leaders face, specific ones, not just general challenges, but very specific ways that leaders engage. And there's a lot of expert advice on how to lead, including from the culture, outside the church, that helps us become better leaders. But leadership for a follower of Jesus in his church is a unique calling displayed in this unique book we call the Bible. As we take our temperature related to being biblical, and that's sort of as opposed to being secular and getting all of our cues from outside and the culture at large, as we think about what it means to be biblical, it's important for us to know that being biblical and being a leader go hand in hand. So you heard that we have an ordination this weekend, an installation of a new elder and two new deacons. Well, we ask 9 ordination questions. We've been asking them for decades. So half of the 9 ordination vows that elders, deacons, and pastors make in the Presbyterian Church include a commitment to the authority of God's word. Now, authority isn't a real popular word these days, and actually being specific about what words should have authority, that's even sketchier. But we keep asking these 9 questions, and we keep making these 9 promises as leaders. We keep making it clear that though there are great leadership tools and tips and strategies inside and outside the church, though there are lots of suggestions on how to best live and what's okay and what's off limits, all of that, there's lots of good stuff out there. But what we are saying is that the Bible is more than a book of tips. It is our authority. Our 9 ordination questions include question 2, do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? The 3rd question focuses on our specific Reformed tradition, the theological convictions expressed in our historic creeds and confessions. And in question 3, leaders are asked if we will pay attention to those theological distinctives and recognize them as, quote, authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and notice and do. Question 4, will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture? Question 5 speaks to our relationships with others, asking if we will serve and interact with others while being, quote, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit. And our new elders and deacons look at these vows, look at these questions. What do they mean? We're not Bible experts. They don't have to take a quiz and pass it, but we talk about what does it mean to be under the authority of God's word. But it's not just church leaders for which being biblical is essential. all who have submitted to the Lordship of Christ and recognize their need for a Savior do so at some level with the belief that God's Word contains truth that comes from the outside to us. It's outside of ourselves. It's truth revealed by God. And it is God, speaking of leadership, it is God through His Word and Spirit that leads us. He's our leader. And it's His Word and Spirit that leads us. It becomes very difficult for a church to be a church without clear marching orders and a mission. And here at FPC, we say that being biblical is a foundational value. In the fall of 2007, our elders asked a smaller group of writers to craft statements around our 8 ministry and foundational values that we had looked at, prayed about, talked about, and claimed as 4 foundational and 4 ministry values. We wanted to do more than just say that we value at a foundational level being Christ-centered and loving and missional and biblical. We wanted to ask ourselves, well, what do these words and values actually mean to us? How would we help others know what we meant by each value? How would we define ourselves along those values? So after several months, and there were rough drafts, and there were rewrites, and there was the parsing of words, and the fighting over phrases and clauses, it was a good fighting, but you know, we were working every word and every thought. We were bringing it back to the elders and getting feedback and staff, and finally, we approved the 8 value statements. And you may have seen them. They're on our website. We always go over them with our Discovery Connections class. So to help flesh out our biblical value, we say that we believe all Scripture is the inspired Word of God that dynamically bears witness to Christ and points us in His direction. Both Old and New Testaments tell the grand story of who God is and who we are called to be. We seek not only to understand God's Word, but to be transformed in our everyday lives through prayer and study. So as we were writing these 8 value statements, I think there were 6 on the team, counting me, and I was trying really hard to fit in this phrase or this statement that I had heard years ago from Dale Bruner about Scripture and about Scripture's authority. And Dale Bruner said, we don't just seek to understand Scripture, but to stand under its authority. And I love that. And you can see we got understand in our value statement. I chose not to exert all of my power and authority. I was pretty new here, and I didn't. But we are saying the same thing, that obedience is a big part of being biblical. We want to know God's word so that we can actually do what God's word says. Bruner, of course, didn't make this up. He got it from Jesus, who at the end of the Sermon on the Mount said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message takes this whole passage, verse 24 through 27. I love it, I love it, I love it. He says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. There's the building metaphor. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. He envisions Jesus saying, if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock, to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Martin Luther King Jr. put the words of Scripture into practice, into action. And doing so made a lot of people feel uncomfortable. A lot of Bible reading people uncomfortable. And this reminds all of us that obedience to God's word isn't always popular or isn't always understood. What's funny, and by that I don't mean ha-ha funny, but it's just peculiar, is that all kinds of people are made uncomfortable in all kinds of ways whenever we put God's word into practice. And that's people outside the church for sure, but I'm talking about people inside the church, people who know God's word and read God's word. Whenever it gets put into practice, it makes someone feel uncomfortable. And that could be because we're living out God's word about freedom and justice, or God's word about holiness and purity, or God's word about wealth and possessions, or God's word about our bodies and sexuality, or God's word about prayer and healing, or God's word about sin and judgment, or God's word about grace and forgiveness. It's always, some of that is always making someone uncomfortable. And what you're comfortable with from God's word makes someone else uncomfortable in the church or in some other church, and vice versa. And still, with all that discomfort, we seek to be biblical. We don't want to be secular people led by the word of the day or the wisdom of the day. We don't want to be just popular or relevant in what it is that we're learning from and teaching about. Although I would say the Bible is very relevant for all of life. So, are we biblical? Sometimes visitors will come up to me after church on Sunday, and they're newer, and some of it is just being polite, but they comment, and they say something like this: "Your sermons are so biblical." And there's like a hint of surprise in the tone of their voice. Your sermons are so biblical. And it makes me wonder, although I think I know, what maybe they've heard about Presbyterians and the Bible. Or what they mean by biblical. That's what I wonder too. Is like, well, tell me more about that. What they typically mean is that we read passages of scripture and then kind of focus on that. Not that we don't do topics, but our way of reading and preaching on scripture. I think that's what they typically mean. But it always makes me wonder, what does biblical mean to you, to us? We also have some who come and stay long enough to realize that I don't use expository preaching as my style. Expository preaching is a preaching style where you go verse by verse by verse. Perfectly fine style of preaching, not mine. But what they have come to believe about expository preaching is that's biblical preaching, whereas another style is not. And then others stay here long enough to discover that we practice infant baptism or the ordination of women to elder, deacon, and pastor. Or they find out that we don't mandate full immersion for baptism for adult believers. We're not opposed to immersion. We just don't mandate it as the only form of baptism. And we practice infant baptism. Or they find out, you know, fill in the blank, something else that we don't do that in their mind we should be doing if we're biblical. And so because of whatever that practice is or those practices, whatever our particular theological understanding, they decide personally that we are not biblical, and that's okay. There are a lot of great churches who live out a biblical value in different ways. Full disclosure, we do not use the words inerrancy or infallibility to talk about our view of the Bible. Actually, those words aren't found in the Bible, but they were used post-Darwin in the ongoing discussion about the truth of Scripture and its reliability and how it came to be. We don't use those words, but we do say that the Bible is authoritative and inspired. In other words, we've chosen not to place our language and our faith in Scripture on the philosophy or theology of how it was inspired, which we actually don't know exactly in all cases, but we want to place our faith in the God who somehow inspired these scriptures that we call the Old and New Testament. Authoritative and inspired. That's important to us. Now, my former church, a friend who was very involved in the church, actually taught regularly and preached occasionally, was trained in a kind of a different understanding of how Scripture came to be, and it was called verbal plenary inspiration. Actually, God spoke audibly out loud every word in the Bible to people who wrote it down as they heard it. And I'm not saying God didn't speak out loud, that in some cases that's exactly what happened, but we wouldn't say that that's how all of it came to be. And we wouldn't say that it was always immediately written down. There was a lot of oral tradition and words being passed on. Anyway, in this conversation, and we're having a great conversation, he's a great guy, passionate about Jesus, but he said, "Tom, I don't know how I could have faith in the scriptures if they weren't inspired in this way." In other words, if it wasn't verbal plenary, like, I don't know if this can be trusted. We don't use certain words when talking about what it means for us to be biblical. But not using certain words doesn't mean that we're not biblical. It doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't have authority for us. And by the way, using any words that make it sound like we're more biblical or sound like we're more serious, that doesn't mean we're more biblical either, because it's not just our theory of how it was inspired. It's, do we know it and do it? Is it our authority? Does it come from outside of us because we can't figure it out on our own? That's important. So don't get hung up in words. Great conversations. It's fine to even debate and argue a little, but that's not the point. In fact, if we're going to be honest as followers of Jesus, which we might as well be, right? If we're going to be honest, all followers of Jesus who profess to be biblical, we should admit that none of us, regardless of our doctrinal position on the inspiration of Scripture, regardless of whether or not we have a Bible that's memorized and marked up, regardless of all that, we should all admit that we have not arrived at being fully obedient to all of God's word. None of us. In fact, we should all confess that all of us, when it comes to the Bible, pick and choose, prioritize and rank, focus on and ignore, defend and explain away. We all do that, again, because some of it makes us uncomfortable and we like to get rid of that discomfort. And that's true for you. Pick and choose, defend and explain away. It's true for me. And it was true for Martin Luther King Jr. too, for every human being except for Jesus. So it's messy, it's hard, it's complicated. Words are confusing. We don't always even do what we believe it says we should do. And yet God's word just, he keeps calling us to submit our wills and obey the God who inspired and guided the crafting of this word, however it came to be. And those scriptures mince no words about where our ultimate authority lies. It is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew God's word inside and out and obeyed it fully. In fact, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, he says that he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So the Old Testament, his scriptures, I'm not here to do away with any of that. I'm here to show you what it actually all was leading to and what it all actually meant at the heart. Scripture tells us that attention to an obedience to God's word, being biblical. Psalm 1 tells us we're like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season and their leaves do not wither. It's a great image. And Psalm 1 is one of the images that inspired us to grab onto the metaphor of a tree for our logo and for our mission statement. So again, stay tuned for logo and new website. So we read from Psalm 119, or that was one of the readings this week, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses in that one chapter. The whole chapter is focused on God's word. The whole psalm is about knowing and doing God's word. And right in the middle of this longest chapter in the Bible, we read that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so I end by saying, is that true for you? Is it true for me? Is it true for all of us? Is God's word our lamp and our light? Is it our authority that inspires us to obey and do what it says? Let's take our temperature. Are we biblical? Now, it's a couple weeks after New Year's Day, but I want to encourage you to make a commitment, to make a resolution. No matter how familiar you are with the Bible or how unfamiliar, I want to challenge all of us in 2021 to read God's word and commit to doing it. Reading it and doing it. Understanding it and doing it. Now, I know in 2020, wow, maybe you read God's word more than ever because you had more time. I know we did puzzles. I know we did house projects. I know we did hikes. I know we read books. I know we spent time on Zoom and probably too much time online and some way too much time in the news. But we found time for that stuff. And all of that stuff can be great. And I did almost all of that stuff. I did all that stuff. But let's find time in 2021. No matter how things get freed up, let's find time to be students of God's word. Not just to understand it up here, but to stand under its authority and do what it says. Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things and put them into practice. There are plenty of noble and excellent and lovely things to think about in the world, outside of the Bible, outside of church. I know that. This is what I'm about to say does not intend to sound like there's sacred stuff and secular stuff, and you got to only think about sacred stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I do want to declare is that I believe everything excellent and everything noble and everything lovely and beautiful and praiseworthy. I think anything that can be said of, if you look, will find its origin in the God revealed in Scripture, the one who revealed himself to us. Revealed a reality that is vastly different from what this world paints as excellent and noble and lovely. Our God has revealed, for example, that to obey is better than sacrifice. Our God has revealed that to forgive is better than to accuse. Our God has revealed that it is better to give than to receive. Our God has revealed that dying to self and carrying a cross actually leads to life. And it goes on and on and on. Stuff that doesn't make sense. Stuff that isn't popular now. But we are not invited to put our faith in what makes sense all of the time or at this moment in history. We are called to put our faith in the living Word made flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, who knew this through and through. And then his spoken words and actions made it into what we call the New Testament. And all the other stuff in the New Testament reflects back on the gospel, the good news of Jesus. He was a part of all this. He is a part of all this and wants to work it into our lives. He knew it and he did it. So let's be biblical. Know it and do it as we are rooted in Jesus, growing in his love and branching out to serve others. Let's pray. God, help us, guide us, use us, speak to us, and may we be doers of the word. May we build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus and all that's revealed that points us in his direction. I pray this in his name. Amen.